Tonight, John Ankerberg examines the beliefs of the Jehovah's Witnesses. The Jehovah's Witnesses are active in over 100 countries and have distributed literally billions of pieces of literature explaining their views. They have personally visited most U.S. households, probably including yours. Jehovah's Witnesses claim they are Christians. They claim that God only works through their Watchtower Society organization to give His truth to the world. But are their claims true? What motivates them to go door to door in such a tireless way? Tonight, you will find out. And be sure to stay tuned to find out how you may receive your own personal copy of the latest anchor book entitled, The Facts on the Jehovah's Witnesses. Join us for this edition of John Ankerberg.
Welcome. During this program, we're going to examine portions of a new documentary film on the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society, better known as the Jehovah's Witnesses. It's entitled Witnesses of Jehovah, and it covers many interesting areas. When I want to learn anything about a religious organization, there are three crucial areas that I always examine. Number one, who are their leaders? And then I ask the question, are they credible? And then second, what books, what documents do they consider authoritative? Is that information accurate and honestly written? And then third, what are some of the basic beliefs of the group? And what evidence is given to support those beliefs? Now, I've chosen excerpts from this documentary film that will address all three of these areas. And I want to begin tonight by playing for you a very fascinating historical excerpt about the Jehovah's Witnesses' first president and founder, Charles Taze Russell. Please listen.
It all began in Pennsylvania in the late 1800s when Charles Taze Russell came under the influence of a Second Adventist preacher. Russell initiated his own Bible study class, a small group that would ultimately grow to become the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society. Borrowing directly from the prophetic speculations of Nelson Barber, a New York Second Adventist, Russell claimed that in 1799, the world had entered the time of the end. That in 1874, Jesus Christ had returned invisibly, and that the world would come to an end in the year 1914. In 1879, Russell, then 27 years of age, was so passionately convinced these prophetic dates were given by God that he sold his prosperous clothing business and struck out in a new direction. With very little education or theological background, he began printing the magazine Zion's Watchtower and Herald of Christ's Presence. Known today as the Watchtower, this publication, which has grown from an initial printing of 6,000 to well over 288 million copies annually, dictates all major doctrines to Jehovah's Witnesses. During his lifetime, Russell authored a vast amount of literature, including a series of volumes entitled Studies in the Scriptures. According to Russell, no one could understand the Bible without these books, and reading the Bible alone would lead only to spiritual darkness. One of Russell's teachings was that Egypt's Great Pyramid was designed and placed there by God as his second witness next to the Bible. It would be an instrument to reveal his great plan of the ages for mankind.
This measurement indicates the length of the year, the weight of the earth, the distance to the sun, etc.
Russell believed his dates and chronology were confirmed by the measurements of the interior passageways of the Great Pyramid. According to Russell, the passageways verified 1914 as the year the world would end. Finally, 1914 came and went. Russell and his followers were not raptured from the earth, and the end had not come. John Knight, who was 15 years old at the time, remembers what came next.
Well, when 1914 came, of course, we had to change our views, just like we had to change the views later.
The date was pushed forward to 1915. Then, 1918. Certainly Armageddon was just around the corner. But in 1916, Charles Taze Russell died, sick, weary, and disappointed. A massive stone pyramid stands today at his gravesite as an embarrassing reminder of his false prophecies.
Now, our guest tonight is Mrs. Lori McGregor, who has studied the history and the teachings of the Jehovah's Witnesses for 27 years. And Lori, as we looked at that segment, it kind of blows everybody's mind to think that the first founder of the Jehovah's Witnesses, Charles Taze Russell, actually declared those things and put them into print. Is that true? And if it is true, why is it that when he died and these things had not come to pass, why is it that people didn't leave the Watchtower Society and it just wasn't finished at that point?
When we look at any organization, John, including the Jehovah's Witnesses, we have to look at how they begin, on what foundation are they built. Charles Taze Russell was not a pastor, although they called him pastor. He had no theological training. He was a clothier who declared himself the faithful and discreet slave. And he said, now God is going to channel everything through me. I'm the one that you have to look at to get your meat in due season, your spiritual food. And so he was a very interesting man, first of all, to command the attention of as many people as he did. He was quite an orator and spoke very well. He was embroiled in a lot of marital difficulties. These things are really hidden from Jehovah's Witnesses today, but in an open court trial, which is still on record, he had to explain why he was behind a locked door with the serving girl in the middle of the night while his wife pounded on the other side. That made rather good reading. He was fascinated by pyramidology. He was fascinated by phrenology, which is the science, so-called, of reading the bumps on your head. You feel somebody's head and they pronounce what kind of a person you are. He was so taken with phrenology that he came up with some really interesting quotes in the Watchtower. I have one here of March 15th, 1913. I'd like to read to you, and I quote, "The drawing power which the Almighty exercises over humanity is in different degrees. Some have a strong desire to worship God. Others have a weak desire, and others have no desire at all. The difference is due to the shape of the brain." He went on to say a little later in the same article, "Stand a man alongside of a dog. Look at their heads. The one slopes back." We hope he means the dog. "There is no place for intellectual qualities at all. If we could make a man with the same, if we could make a dog, pardon me, with the same head as a man, he would think the same as a man." End of quote. Now, Jehovah's Witnesses need to ask themselves, am I trusting in an organization that had a beginning like this on a man that held these strange views? We also saw from the film clip that he is a proven false prophet. He named 1874 as the time of Christ's invisible presence, and he also said that 1914 would mark the end of everything. The world was not going to go beyond that time.
Why didn't Jehovah's Witnesses leave the organization after he put that in print and they found it was untrue?
All I can answer you in that way, John, is that when people become so convinced that they have got God's prophet and they have given their loyalty, they have given their money, they have knocked on doors, they have studied, they just can't swallow their pride somehow. And I believe also the Bible speaks of a spirit of deception. And I think that they were determined that they were just going to remain loyal no matter what, that this really was God's faithful and discreet slave. And sure, he made a few mistakes. You know, the Watchtower even today is always saying, okay, so we made a few mistakes. You know, we've gotten new light.
But he did that in the name of God. We're going to move on here, Lori, to the second excerpt tonight for the people, because the Jehovah's Witnesses right in this area, they claim that they are the only true religion on earth today, and they base that claim in part on their authoritative document, their own translation of the Bible. They call this the New World Translation of the Holy Scriptures. Now, in the film clip that you're going to see in just a moment, many times the Jehovah's Witnesses will quote from Julius R. Manti, one of the world's greatest biblical grammarians concerning Greek. and the society quotes him as being in favor of their view of John 1:1, the word was a God. And in this excerpt, Dr. Manty is interviewed as to what he thinks about the New World Translation. Is it a good translation? Is it an honest translation? Would he recommend it to somebody? And I want you to listen.
To support its beliefs, the Watchtower Organization has published its own version of the Bible called the New World Translation. To lend credence to this translation, the Watchtower Society has deliberately misquoted a number of well-known Greek scholars. Dr. J.R. Manty, an eminent Greek scholar, was one of the authorities quoted out of context. The Watchtower Society has implied that he supports their New World Translation. Dr. Manty disagrees.
I have never found any so-called translation that goes so far away from what the Scripture actually teaches as these books published by Jehovah's Witnesses. They are so far away from what there is in the original Hebrew and the original Greek.
Dr. Manty called the Jehovah's Witness Bible a shocking mistranslation, obsolete and incorrect.
You can't follow theirs because it's biased and it's deceptive because they deliberately changed words in a passage of Scripture to make it fit into their doctrine. They distorted the Scripture in many passages, scores and scores of passages in the New Testament, dealing with the deity of Christ especially.
To find additional support for their altered scriptures, the Watchtower has even turned to the occult. The New Testament, a Bible translation by Johannes Greber, has been used as an authority in many of their publications. Johannes Greber was a spiritualist, heavily involved with the occult. His translation was completed under the direction of spirit messengers, with the aid of his wife, who is a self-professed spirit medium.
Let me ask you, Lori, is the Jehovah's Witnesses translation of the Bible an accurate and honest translation?
No, it certainly is not. It has removed or distorted all the references to the deity of Jesus Christ.
Give me an example. Give me proof.
The most famous distortion is John 1:1, where they said the word was a God. Now, of course, they could not find any reputable Greek scholars to back them up on this distortion, so they had three choices. They went to the spiritistic occult world of Johannes Greber and got his support. The Holy Spirits, during seance-type meetings, told him that. They quoted him. Now, they claimed that they didn't realize he was a spirit medium, and that's why they quoted him. But since 1956, the Watchtower magazine put out an article on him saying he was a spiritist. Don't listen to him. Then they proceeded to use him while they did their Bible, which came out in its full form in 1961. And so they're guilty there. They went to the Christadelphians, and they also went to the Unitarians, both of which had altered recognized texts to teach that Jesus was an extra god, a god. We don't have the time to go into it tonight. I have a long list of Greek scholars who say that the translation is absolutely incorrect. Jehovah's Witnesses attempt to lamely say that theos in the Greek, the word for God, does not have ha in front of it, and so they can't say Jesus is the God, but a God. So every Jehovah's Witness needs to find out whether or not Jesus Christ is ha theos, the God, or isn't he.
The third excerpt that I've chosen tonight that I'd like you to examine has to do with the basic beliefs of the Jehovah's Witnesses concerning Jesus Christ. Please listen very carefully.
Our teaching on Jesus Christ is that Jesus is the Son of God. He was the first thing that Jehovah created, and through him other creative works were done. Now, some religions teach that God and Jesus are one and the same, but the Bible does not teach that, and therefore neither do Jehovah's Witnesses.
We believe that the Bible teaches that Jesus carries out a number of functions for Jehovah God, the Most High. For example, in the Hebrew Scriptures, he is referred to as Michael. Michael, literally translated into English, means who is like God.
Witnesses believe that Jesus Christ is a spirit creature, a super angel, the first creation of Jehovah God, who prior to coming to earth as a man, existed in heaven as Michael the archangel. Jesus started out originally as the Logos. Michael the Archangel. Who then came to earth as the virgin-born son of Mary. He was a perfect, sinless man. But he was only a man, devoid of all divinity. Jesus walked the earth as a man, becoming the Christ only when he was baptized. Jehovah's Witnesses hold the cross in contempt, feeling that it is nothing more than a pagan symbol used by apostate Christendom. Instead, they teach that at the completion of his ministry, Jesus died, not on the cross, but on an upright stake. Christ's body was then laid in a tomb, where it was disintegrated by God, totally destroyed forever. Jesus was then recreated by the Father. Before going to heaven, he materialized in different bodies on different occasions to convince his disciples and others that he had really been resurrected. Jesus returned to his Father in heaven, where once again he became Michael the Archangel. He will never again be seen on the earth in visible form, but instead rules invisibly from the heavens. When he executes judgment over the world at Armageddon, he will destroy all but the faithful Jehovah's Witnesses. Michael, who will always remain invisible to those on earth and can be seen only by the 144,000 select Jehovah's Witnesses who rule with him from heaven.
Lori, this is what the Jehovah's Witnesses teach, and all other biblical Greek scholars disagree with their views concerning Jesus Christ. Is there anything that you can do to share with Jehovah's Witnesses from their own biblical text that would point them in a different direction concerning their views on Jesus?
Yes, I would invite Jehovah's Witnesses to look in their own publication, the Kingdom Interlinear Translation of the Greek Scriptures. This has the Westcott and Hort text on one side with the English words under, and on the right-hand column is what the Watchtower has done with the English to Greek, and it will prove very revealing. In the foreword of this publication, it says that Ha Theos is only Jehovah God. It is only Almighty God, nobody else. So I would invite Jehovah's Witnesses to take the time to look up the witness of Scripture to see what it says. Because you see, prophecy called Jesus Christ Ha Theos. In Matthew 1:23, where the prophecy came to Mary, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which translated means God, Ha Theos, with us. You'll find Jesus called Ha Theos there. The disciples said so. When the risen Christ came and Thomas realized who he was, he fell down in worship and said, "My Lord and my God, Ha Theos." And I think the greatest witness is God the Father, because he called his Son Jesus Christ Ha Theos in Hebrews 1:8. But of the Son he says, "Thy throne, O God, Ha Theos, is forever and ever." So if even the Father Jehovah calls the Son the God, we have to believe it. You see, Jehovah's Witnesses have a two true God doctrine, and the Bible says there's only one true God. They have a big God, Jehovah, and then beside him they got a secondary God, Jesus Christ. Okay, which one is the true God? They have to say, well, Jehovah. Since the Bible says there's only one true God, what does that make Jesus? Either they have to say he's a false god because there is only one true God, or they're stuck with the two true God doctrine. But the Bible doesn't teach that. Jehovah himself said in Isaiah 43, there was no God formed before me, and there will continue to be none after me. There's no God beside me. Who are we going to believe? Jehovah God or the Watchtower Bible? In 1 Timothy 1, 16 and 17, Jesus Christ is called the only God. That should be clear enough. Jehovah's Witnesses hate to read this in context, but I want you to notice where the amen is. 1 Timothy 1, 16 and 17, Paul says, "And yet for this reason I found mercy, in order that in me as the foremost, Jesus Christ, subject, might demonstrate his perfect patience as an example for those who would believe in him for eternal life. Now to the King eternal," notice not created, "to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." Only then does the thought end. The whole chapter is on the subject of Jesus Christ. Will you believe he is eternal, not created? Will you believe he's the only God? He really is. And Jehovah's Witnesses need to check this out very, very carefully.